So we are we're up to the parasha of Toldot, which is the parasha of Yitzchak. It's about Yitzchak and about Esav and about Yaakov. Right? You remember all these stories that come around every year? So I got to focus on something. Got to think about something. So what I think about, what I want us all to think about, is who exactly was Yitzchak? Do you know? Like Abraham was the man who discovered faith again. That was when the world was created, as the Torah teaches us. Adam, Harishon, and Chava did not have an issue about who's in charge. They all knew that there was one God, and one God created the world, and they were in communication with God all the time. The one who rediscovered all of this was Avraham Avinu, at least the way the Rambam tells the story. I mean, the Rambam tells the story based on Chazal, but the Rambam made a story out of it. The beginning of Hilchot Avodah Zarah, the Rambam says, Avraham Avinu lived in a world of idolatry. And by that, he means every single person was an idolater. In fact, the Rambam stresses the fact that his father, Avraham's father, and his mother, were idolaters. You know, like women didn't play such a strong role in those days, but the Rambam insists that his mother was also an idolater. How he knows that, I don't know, except by inference, general kind of inference. So, Avraham Avinu rediscovered faith in God, and that God was the creator of the world. So I say, who was Avraham Avinu? So we know who Avraham Avinu was. Avraham Avinu was a revolutionary. He changed everything. He gave the world purpose, so to speak. It became possible to live in the world, you know, once again. Now, if I ask you who Yaakov was, I mean, that's a sort of an unfair question because we're not up to Yaakov yet. But we could remember him from last year and the year before that. Yaakov Avinu was kind of the creator of Am Yisrael. And we know that Am Yisrael was something very important because the Torah was going to be given to Am Yisrael. So there you have it. Avraham Avinu was the one who'd rediscovered God, worship, right? All of these things are a part of Avraham Avinu. Yaakov was the one who created Am Yisrael. Now who was Yitzchak? I mean, if he didn't exist, what would we be missing, so to speak? What would be the issue? So this week's parasha, if you look at the first source, this week's parasha says, "Ve'ele toldot Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham hoviv et Yitzchak." Now you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that this is a little strange. If Avraham holid et Yitzchak, then certainly Yitzchak was ben Avraham. I mean, the redundancy here is really jarring. A little too much. You know, okay, there are always redundancies, but this is something that is beyond a regular... Anyway, you look at Rashi. Avraham yolid et Yitzchak. You see the Rashi? Al yidei shekatav ha-katuv Yitzchak ben Avraham, huskak lomar Avraham yolid et Yitzchak lefi. Rashi says, well, if you say A, you have to say B. Well, that's exactly what we don't understand. I mean, why is it if you say A, you have to say B? It was if you say Yitzchak ben Avraham, you have to say that. So Rashi tells us a story. Lefisha Yulet Sanehador Omrim, the comedians in that time, right, in that world, there were comedians. Omrim Mavimelech Nitabra Sarah, that she became pregnant from Avimelech. You remember they went, the Avimelech, and, you know, famine, and took her and didn't take her. You know that story. V'harei kama shanim shahata im Avraham v'lo nitabrahimene. After all, she lived with Avraham for a number of years, and she didn't become pregnant. And all of a sudden, she was pregnant. So they said, well, she must have become pregnant with Avimelech. Ma'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what was the response? What was the response? Tzar klastar panav shel Yitzchak domeh le'Avraham. God created Yitzchak's face so that it was exactly like Avraham's face. Klaster panav, like the mask on his face, was exactly the same as Abraham. In order that Veheidu Hakol Abraham Hovil Yitzchak. So you have to read the pasuk like this. Veila told Og Yitzchak, but Abraham, that's what it says in his Tudat Zehut. It says Yitzchak ben Avraham, but everybody laughed at that. They all said it was a forgery. And they made it up, because after all, how could Avraham have a baby? He lived with Sarah for years and they didn't have any children. So the pasuk says, Avraham holid et Yitzchak. So God did something to make everybody realize that Avraham was the father. And that was that Avraham and Yitzchak had the same face. They looked exactly alike. It was very hard to say that he wasn't the father. So, okay, you have, this Rashi could be treated at different levels. Like you could say, well, what sort of interpretation is that? It's as though you have two kinds of stories there. There's like a statement, right? El Todo Yitzchak ben Avraham. And then there's a kind of a pause. We have to tell a story. And you have to say, well, the people were not sure about that. About whether Yitzchak was the son of Avraham. And so, God made sure that everybody would say, Avraham holid et Yitzchak. How did that happen? Because they looked exactly the same. So again, I think that this Rashi indicates how serious a problem there is. But I think, personally, that there's a very simple explanation. Right, there's a very simple explanation. And that is that, not every son is exactly like his father in the way he does things. I mean, sometimes they are more and sometimes they are less. But Yitzchak, you always knew that Yitzchak was the son of his father because of the way he acted. That's what the pasuk says. Now, if you look at the second source, you see Breshit Perek Tavbet, the second source. We'll go back to the first source in a minute. Vayikach, just two psukim. These psukim are from Akedat Yitzchak, from the story of the sacrifice or the binding of Yitzchak. You see pasuk vav, Vayikach Avraham et Etzei Ha'ola, Vayasem al Yitzchak Beno. So Avraham, they're on their way to Har Moriah. They got off their donkeys, and they're on their way. So Avraham takes Atzei Ha'olah. In Israel, firewood is not such an easy commodity. So you have to prepare it in advance. That's Atzei Ha'olah, right? The firewood for the Olah sacrifice, the sacrifice that is completely consumed. Vayasem al Yitzchak beno, and he put it on Yitzchak. That was his job. Vayikach beyado et ha'esh v'et ha'machelet, and he took along the fire. I guess it's some kind of a something. Like if you go see the movie, you would know. But it was something where you carry fire. Vayikach beyado et ha'esh v'et ha'machelet. Machelet, as you know, is a fancy word for a knife. A big knife, maybe. So what does Ve'elchul Shnehem Yachta? How did they go Yachta? You mean right, left? Or they held hands? What was Yachta? That they had one mission. They were together. How were they together? Well, Yitzchak knew that God wanted something, and he went along with his father. So the next pasuk explains it to us exactly. Vayomer Yitzchak el Avraham. So Yitzchak said to his father, Avraham Avi, Vayomer Avi, politely, says, Father, my father, Vayomer Hineni Bini. And the father said, here I am, I'm listening. Vayomer Hinei Ha'esh Va'etzim Va'yaseh La'olah. Here's the fire. Here's the firewood. Where is the sacrificial animal that we're supposed to sacrifice? So you understand what that pasuk means. What it was that Yitzchak was saying. He's saying, listen, I get it. I understand that the only thing that could be sacrificed here is me. And then the next pasuk says, "Vayomer Avraham Elohim Ye Eloh Aselo Labini." Vayelchu Shnehem Yechdav, and Avraham admits it. He says, "God will show us the sacrifice, the animal to be sacrificed." Vayelchu Shnehem Yechdav means even after Yitzchak was aware exactly of what lay in store for him, Yitzchak was willing to be Yechdav. Just as Abraham was willing to do God's command, it didn't make any sense, right? You know that in Pasuk says, "Vayishkem Abraham baboker." Abraham Avinu got up early in the morning. He got up early in the morning. Why? Because he wanted to do the mitzvah. God told him to sacrifice his son. He wanted to run quickly to sacrifice his son. He didn't have, apparently, against Kierkegaard, as I pointed out. He doesn't have he doesn't feel that it's difficult. Is that difficult to do what God wants you to do? Even though at some other level of ethical values, it might be very difficult. But if God says do it, so you do it. I mean, it's not, you know, that doesn't make any sense. But that Yitzchak was willing to accept the divine command to Abraham personally indicated that Abraham was Yitzchak's father. That Yitzchak and Abraham were like twins. They looked the same. They thought the same. They acted the same. That's what Yitzchak was. So Yitzchak was the one who created the family. Right? That was Yitzchak. The first thing about Yitzchak is they created the family, even though you know that Abraham realized. We'll see in a minute. It's a difficult story, but you remember that Sarah, realizing that she was barren, offered Abraham Hagar. Now, we don't know exactly what the Near Eastern law is at that time, but we could make it up. Right? We'll make it up. So we'll say, according to the Near Eastern law, sons only had fathers. There weren't any mothers. The mothers had no legal standing. And so Sarah said, well, what difference does it make who the mother is? What difference does it make who the important thing is that you, Abraham, should have a son? That's the whole point. But it turned out that that was not the point. Because Yishmael was not capable of achieving that level of cleaving to his father. And therefore, Yishmael was not the son that created the family. Right? It had nothing to do with being good or being bad. It had only to do with accepting the Ol Malchut Shamayim, right? The yoke of heaven. That's something that Yitzchak excelled in. And therefore, you could say that the family of Avraham Avinu was created by Yitzchak. Because of all the children that Abraham had, right? He had Yishmael at the beginning, and then he remarried Hagar, whose name became Keturah, according to Chazal, and they had many other children. But those children, right, Yishmael and the other children, did not create a family, because about them it could not be said, Vayelchu Shnehem Yachdav. And that was the lesson. The lesson was that in order for Avraham Avinu to live, in order for his ideas to live on, he had to have a family. And a family meant, right, that the child was the mirror image of his father. That was what family meant in that time. And we all know families in which, you know, who are successful in this kind of enterprise. So Avram was successful. So the first thing that we know about Yitzchak, is that he was Vayelchu Shnehem Yachtav, and that the Vayelchu Shnehem Yachtav means that Yitzchak had somehow accepted, learned, known the attitudes of his father and had absorbed them entirely. And so he was even able to be devoted to the command of God as Abraham, who received the command, was devoted. Right? You have to remember that Yitzchak did not hear that there was a mitzvah, Akeilat Yitzchak. That was not information that was given to Yitzchak. It was only given to Abraham. Okay. All right. I want to look at a second story. Bereshit Perek Kavav. You see, it's the third source on the obverse or reverse. One of those is right. I don't remember which is the right side. That doesn't matter. Pasuk Aleph.
Rectum.
The which?
The rectum.
The rectum. Okay. You live and learn. Vayira av ba'aretz. That's what it says. Oh, here's a great story. Vayira av ba'aretz. Milvad ha'ra'av ha'rishod ha'shayah v'yumei Avraham. So, I mean, you don't even have to say anything. I don't have to interpret it, because the Torah itself interprets this. It says, we're not going to tell you a story. We're going to tell you a story about a famine. But what's important to know about this famine? Oh, it's a do-over of the famine that Avraham Avinu had to deal with, right? You don't have to figure anything out. You don't have to be a creative literary personality, because the Torah tells you, we're now going to tell you a story that's a repeat of a story. So if the story is a repeat of the story, then Yitzchak, remember Yitzchak? Who is now, we've kind of focused upon him as being the mirror image of his father, accepting the command to his father. So what's Yitzchak going to do? What's Yitzchak going to do, obviously? He's going to do what his father did. His father left the country, went to Mitzrayim, so he'll do the same thing. I mean, it's obvious. It's not even a nisayon for Yitzchak, as it was for Avraham Avinu. It was a kind of a test. What's going to be? Who's going to, what? How will it turn out? Oh, that's good. So Yitzchak is going to leave the country, right? So the pasuk says, "Vayelech Yitzchak elavi melech melech Plishtim gerara." So here's Yitzchak on the move, right? I don't know. So I think that Yitzchak probably intended to go to Eretz Mitzrayim, right? He's going to Eretz Plishtim. Eretz Plishtim is Gaza. What today is Gaza. So that means that from Gaza, even if you don't have a tunnel, there's easy access to Egypt. And so that's Yitzchak. He was on his way to Egypt, even though he went to Avimelech, Melech Plishtim Gerara, to the city of Gerar. And God appeared to Yitzchak. Don't go to Mitzrayim, parentheses, like your father did, even though you are the mirror image of your father, and even though you're going through an experience that's exactly the same as the experience your father went through. But I tell you, Yitzchak, I tell you, Al Tered Mitzrayim. Love. That's called a love. A negative commandment. I mean, it's not a commandment in the sense, it actually is, but here it's not a commandment in the sense of Taryag Mitzvot, 613 Mitzvot, but it's a negative. Don't do it. Don't go to Mitzrayim, and then, what are the next words in the Pasuk? Shchon Ba'aretz, Hashem Amar Elecha. Now that's a redundancy. Because if God says to Yitzchak, do not go, so what does that naturally mean?
Stay.
So why does the pasuk have to say stay? So to my mind, there's a difference between Avram Avinu and Yitzchak at this point. Right? Avram Avinu, God promised him two things. Right? God promised Avram Avinu several times, finally in the Brit Bein HaBetarim, but God promised Avram Avinu two things. One, tremendous progeny, right? A lot of children. And the second thing was Eretz Yisrael. Avram was promised Eretz Yisrael. When it comes to Eretz Yisrael, when it comes to progeny, Avram didn't say a word. Right? You know, God took him out. He said, look at the heavens, look, see all these stars. And Avram said, yeah, well, could you count them? I can't count them. Right? You know those children's books, they always have that story and a picture with a lot of stars. The sky is always black and the stars are always bright. That's fine. But when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, what did Avraham Avinu say? Bamaida Kir Hashem. What does that mean? How could Avraham Avinu say a thing like that? Bamaida Kir Hashem. That's what it says. I can look up the pasuk, but that's what Avraham Avinu said to God. How do I know that I'm truly going to inherit the land? So the Gemara in Ta'anit, quoted by Rashi, the Gemara says that Avraham Avinu was asking, what happens if my children don't deserve Eretz Yisrael? What happens then? So the Gemara says that God responded that even if they're driven into the exile, even if Am Yisrael or the children of Avraham Avinu are exiled from the land, as long as they maintain a connection to Avodat Hashem Be'eretz Yisrael, if they learn the halachot of the Beit HaMikdash, if they do it, that's why we say every morning we say Korbanot before Pesukei Dezimra. We say Birkat HaTorah, right? This is the way the Siddur is organized. You say Birkat HaTorah, and then you say a little Torah. Right? Now that little Torah that we say is also got Mishnayot of Zvachim, Ezu Mikoman Shel Zvachim. Do we say that every day? Of course, the Hasidim, they say, why do we say that? Why do we say that parak of Mishnah? What? Who said that? I can't see. Who said it?
Me in the dark.
Who? Excellent. Excellent. Great. But you are a Spanish Portuguese Jew. What's your connection to Hasidim?
I fell by the wayside.
Maybe you're a liberal Spanish Portuguese. So the Hasidim say it's the only perek. The fact is a fact. But it's the only perek in the Mishnah, in all of Mishnayot, where there's no machloket. There's no difference of opinion. So they picked that perek for us to say every morning in the hope that it would have a positive effect on us. But we say it too fast. If we say it slower, it maybe would have a good effect on us. But we don't do that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, they'll find their way back. That's what Avraham Avinu. So that according to the Gemara in Ta'anit, when he says, Avraham Avinu was focusing on exile. He says, so what happens if my children don't deserve this great gift of Eretz Yisrael? So that means that Avraham Avinu felt that he did not yet inherit the land. That there was some safek. There was some doubt. That's the way Chazal explained it, right? There was some doubt about whether or not Eretz Yisrael really belonged to Avraham Avinu at that moment. At the moment that this discussion took place. And so when there was Vayihira Abba Eretz, what did Avraham Avinu do? He said, if Eretz Yisrael really belonged to me, if Eretz Yisrael already belonged to me, then I would stay. I wouldn't care about the famine. because I would be in the place that I'm supposed to be. But if Eretz Yisrael doesn't belong to me yet, it's only a promise that will be activated in the future, then maybe I shouldn't stay. Maybe I shouldn't stay in Eretz Yisrael for the famine. Maybe the famine is a siman, is a kind of a sign that at least temporarily I should get out. I should leave. And that's what Avraham Avinu did. He left. He left Eretz Yisrael. So along comes Yitzchak, right? Yitzchak, his son, who is exactly like his father, who looks like his father and acts like his father, accepts the faith of his father, and there's a Ra'av Ba'aretz. So Yitzchak said, I'll do the same thing my father did. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Yitzchak? There's a lav, a negative commandment, and a positive commandment. And that is, Shchon Ba'aretz, I'm sorry, Al Tered Mitzrayim, do not go to Mitzrayim, Shchon Ba'aretz Hashem Ha'alecho. In other words, for you, it's different. For you, it's different. You have got Eretz Yisrael. Shchon Ba'aretz Hashem Ha'alecho. You should stay in the land, right? Which I will say, about which I say to you, Pasuk Gimel, Gur Ba'aretz Hazot. It was even though this Shvuah seems to be a repeat of what was already said to Avraham Avinu, in fact, God says to Yitzchak, starting from now, I mean, the promise starts with Avraham Avinu, but the reality of that promise starts from now. It's almost as though you say, last week we talked about the Marat HaMachpelah, right? And I thought that the Marat HaMachpelah proves, the story of the Marat HaMachpelah proves that Am Yisrael, that Avraham Avinu did not own the land. Because in order to bury his wife, he had to buy the land. He had to pay for it. It wasn't his. He couldn't make a claim against Ephron Achiti. He said, look, you know, a little place here. In any event, it all belongs to me. What are you giving me a hard time? So he had to buy the land. Yitzchak, according to this pasuk, owned the land. It was already his. So if I would think to myself, you know, like if I was like learning Chassidut, and I think to myself, why did it happen that way? Why did it happen that way? Why was it that Avraham kind of felt that it wasn't his? And Yitzchak had this one-upmanship. He had a benefit that Avraham didn't have. Well, what was it? What was it that... what was the difference between Avraham and Yitzchak? Well, the difference was, I would say, that Yitzchak had a son whose name was Yaakov. And besides creating Am Yisrael, Yaakov had another creation. Yaakov created Galut. I mean, the Ramban says it. The Ramban says that Yaakov created exile from the land. Yaakov was exiled, couldn't get along with Esav. His parents were worried. Yaakov created an untenable situation, first by getting the birthright and then by sort of taking the bracha, and Esav thought it was stolen. The situation became untenable. As a result of the untenable situation, Yaakov had to run away, had to go to the diaspora. And therefore the Ramban says that Yaakov created, he doesn't say that word, right? But it's a fair translation, that Yaakov created Galut, exile. But in order to be exiled, you could only be exiled from some place that is yours. So before the exile of Yaakov, which then became the paradigm of exile throughout all the generations, at least according to the Ramban, right? In other words, every time we're exiled, we're again going through this Yaakov and Esav story. He had to be exiled from a place. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yitzchak, Gur ba'aretz hazot, Shchon ba'aretz hazot, stay here, it'll be yours. Why did that have to happen? Why did that have to happen? Why was it enough as Abraham said, it's not mine yet, so it's not yours yet. So we'll wait till Yahushua comes with Am Yisrael and they conquer the land and divide it up. So that what's wrong with that? And the answer might be, again, I say in what Hasidish terms, the answer might be that since Yaakov is considered to be the creator of the Galut, of this idea that you go into foreign territory, that you go to live in a place which is not really yours, and that is a recurrent theme in Jewish history, right? I think, you know, it's not that difficult to imagine. You needed a place to leave. Yaakov couldn't create Galut unless he felt that Eretz Yisrael belonged to him. And therefore, Eretz Yisrael belonged to his father Yitzchak and inherited by his son Yaakov. Okay? So now, final question about Yitzchak. Yitzchak was his father's mirror image. He acted as his father acted. Even when he didn't act as his father acted, he wanted at first to act like his father acted. His father sent Yishmael away from home. Sent him away. He knew that it was, that he knew, Sarah knew, I mean, we'll get into that dynamic, but okay, Sarah was smart here. Sarah was smart, and she knew that there was no hope. Abraham, you know, was the first kiruv worker, according to Chazal. At the Nefesh Hashah Asul Charan, right, they had all these Balei Tshuva that Abraham Avinu convinced Abraham Avinu convinced them that they should accept the yoke of heaven as he did. Right, so he was a great kiruv person. So when the question of what to do with Yishmael came up, in every case you'll see that Abraham Avinu is the lenient one. He's the one who's optimistic. He's the one who thinks that it could be fixed, whatever it is. He was optimistic about Lot. Remember Lot? Even though there was really no reason to be optimistic. And he was optimistic about Yishmael. He was just optimistic about Yishmael. He said, okay, you know, he's not the way we would like him to be, but he'll improve. Sarai, who was connected to reality. Right? Connected to reality. Who came from a different kind of home. Who came from a different kind of background. She knew that Yishmael was incorrigible. That's a word, right? That you couldn't fix him. You couldn't fix, so it's not that one of them was smart and the other was not smart. I don't think that that's the case. But people are different in their relationships to others. And after all, Yishmael came into the world in order to fill the void of Abraham having a son. So it's reasonable that Abraham would want to try to fix Yishmael. But at the end, God says to Abraham, listen to Sarah. She's right. In this case, okay, if God tells you that she's right, so she's right. That's not a question. So he had to send him away. He had to send Yishmael away, and he did. He sent him away. So now here's Yitzchak. Yitzchak is faced with a similar situation. Yaakov is in yeshiva, right? He's not eating too much, he's not sleeping too much, he's learning a lot of Torah. He's the outstanding student in the yeshiva of Sheva Eva. Esav You know, he's out at the casino, he's running around, he's shooting bows and arrows, he's, you know, he's a bad guy. He's not bad like with a svara. He's just a bad guy. He's really a bad guy. So what should Yitzchak do in such a situation? What should Yitzchak do in such a situation? Well, why should he go through, you know, step one with Avraham Avinu? He knows that God told Avraham Avinu to send Yishmael away. So why doesn't he send Esav away?
Question.
What? That's a good question. Oh, good. I'm so happy. Finally. Finally, good question. So I want to tell you what the Abarbanel says. Here is the Abarbanel. It's on the sheet. So if you take the sheet home and you look at it on Shabbos, you can learn the Abarbanel. But I'm going to just tell you what the Abarbanel says, because it's much more interesting when I tell it. And also, it's not a primary text, right? It's a commentary. The Abarbanel is a very smart man. You're a very smart man. And he was modern Orthodox because he worked as an advisor to the King of Spain. Right? That was his day job. And at night he wrote a lot of books on Torah and commentaries. So he was really modern Orthodox. Right?
A doctor too, wasn't he?
What?
He was a doctor too, wasn't
he?
He
was?
I think so.
I don't know. Oh, really?
He was the chief treasurer.
Was he a doctor?
He was the treasurer.
He was the treasurer in the court of the king, yes. Okay, so I want to tell you what he says. I want to tell you what the Abarbanel says, because it's really creative and interesting. The Abarbanel says this. He says, you know, at the end of last week's parasha, it says that Avraham married Keturah. That's what the pasuk says. Chazal say that Keturah is Hagar, and that they had a lot of children. They had children, what?
Baruch Hashem.
Yes, okay. I mean, the full report is not in yet. So they had these children, and then Avraham Avinu goes, and he takes money, and he gives all of these children money and sends them away. So the Abarbanel said, well, what's going on? What is this? I mean, first of all, you can ask the question this way. I have to know this. I have to know that Avraham Avinu had another wife, that he had children, that he sent them away. I mean, it tarnishes the image a little bit, right? I would like Avraham Avinu to be the star of stars. I want him to be the most ethical, positive person imaginable, like in those art scroll books. But what is he sending everybody away? What does he say? Giving them money and sending them away? Doesn't sound, sounds like a bad guy. That's what bad people do. They get rid of their own children. So the Abarbanel says this. Abarbanel says this. It's like an interesting idea. He says, you know, Avraham Avinu sent Yishmael away. He sent Yishmael away because Sarah said you have to send them away. And it was validated by God. Hashem said, listen to Sarah. So he sent him away. But he says, that doesn't mean that Yishmael was happy. Yishmael was not happy at all. Because after all, Yishmael was the rejected child. He had proof that his father hated him. I mean, what a terrible thing. You know, Yishmael, I mean, whatever he did wrong, he certainly was heavily punished for whatever he did. Now, when you ask, Sarah, why you sent Yishmael away? Because you didn't want him to influence her future son, and etc. You know, they had a reason. But that doesn't mean that Yishmael could absorb that reason happily. Like Yishmael could go and say, oh, I'm so happy they sent me away. This way I won't be a bad influence on Yitzchak. I mean, you don't imagine that that's what happened. So the Abarbanel said. So Avraham Avinu saw this as a bad situation. He didn't want to leave Yishmael in a state of distress about what had happened. So what did he do? He had other children. And then he sent the other children away, he gave them presents and sent them away. So Yishmael would know, Yishmael would understand that Avraham Avinu, Yishmael would understand that Avraham Avinu didn't mean him any harm. It wasn't a personal thing. It wasn't that Avraham Avinu hated Yishmael. It was just that the reality could not be maintained. That if Yitzchak comes into the world, he doesn't need Yishmael hanging around. And so he had all these other children. They sent them away for the same reason, because they were not a positive influence. And so Yishmael understood that Avraham Avinu, Avraham his father, didn't really hate him. It wasn't like that kind of a thing. And that explains, according to Barbanel, that explains why when Avraham Avinu died, who buried him?
Yishmael
and Yitzchak. And Chazal say, Shechazar b'tshuva, that he redeemed himself, that he understood that there was this greater plan that was in place, which implied that he had to be sent away. He, Yishmael himself, understood about himself that he had to be sent away, and therefore he agreed to come together with Yitzchak in burying their father. So you see that Avraham Avinu, one of his like principles was to kind of get people together, to get them to understand more and to be more involved with God and to work in order to make sure that the next generation, that is to say Yitzchak, would be salvaged. So we started out, what was our question? Our question was, how come Yitzchak didn't send Esau away? I mean, could it be that he didn't understand that there was a difference between Yaakov and Esau? Let's say no. I mean, you could say whatever you want, but let's, for the sake of this discussion, say that it's inconceivable that Yitzchak didn't know that Esau was a bad guy. But Yitzchak was the son of his father, right? Dvoti kunen shel ha'aba. He looked exactly like, and acted exactly like, et vayelchu shneihem yachdav. And the father, what did the father do according to this interpretation of Barbanel about his unfavorable son Yishmael? He got him back. Okay, it was a little radical, maybe, you know, he had children, he sent them away, but he got the son Yishmael back into the fold. And Yishmael buried his father and was a Baal Tshuva according to Chazal. So Yitzchak said, obviously, that's what I have to try to do with Esav. And as happens often in the Tanakh, his wife, Rivka, in this case again was the voice of God. In other words, sometimes it doesn't work. You know, sometimes it works. With Lot, it worked a little bit. With Yishmael, it seems to have worked a lot. But with Esav, it would not have worked. So Rivka was right. And Yitzchak was right. I mean, everybody was right. But Yitzchak, by nature, was unable, he found it very difficult to say about another person, even if it wasn't his own son, it's hopeless. That there's no way to overcome the hopelessness of the situation. So that was Yitzchak's nature. And that's why Yitzchak, he wasn't fooled by Esau. He just had a different idea. So we see that Yitzchak was the son. And it's not so easy to always be the son. It's not always easy to distinguish between those things that are mandatory, like one God created the world, and those things which might be facultative, like maybe yes, maybe no, like have we inherited the land or haven't we inherited the land? There are also problems with human relations sometimes. Even if you say that everybody has hope, sometimes you come to a point of hopelessness. So those are the things that Yitzchak himself wrestled with, being a son, right? That you can't just imitate your father. You try to take the good, but the good itself is divisible sometimes. Sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't work. So Yitzchak remains an important cog in this kind of story, that Avram Avinu was not enough for us. We wouldn't have gotten the idea, but we needed Yitzchak. We needed Yitzchak to explain to us. We needed Yitzchak to explain to us which parts of Avram Avinu remain constant and which parts of him have to be evaluated in a particular time, in a particular situation. Have a good Shabbos.
So Rabbi, is that the reason you explain why he seemed to favor Esau, Yitzchak?
Why do you think he favored Esau?
Well, because he wanted to give him the blessing first. He wanted.
Yeah, but it was a different blessing. It was not a competitive blessing. It was the blessing that Yitzchak wanted, that Yitzchak wanted to give Esau, was not the bracha of Avram Avinu. It was just a bracha. It was to be nice to him.
But when Yaakov stole it from him, so to speak.
Was the Bechorah?
Yeah.
That's Yaakov, not Yitzchak. You know, so who are we talking about? Yaakov or Yitzchak? Yaakov, whatever the reason is, we didn't talk about that.
Right.
I got through that.